It's Thursday, the day we read from your letters and emails, many of which addressed our coverage of religion. Meredith Gudger's critique of contemporary praise music in the Protestant church drew the most response by far. Matt Steiner in Parkville, Maryland, was astounded by the commentary. He writes, "I have sung plenty of both traditional and contemporary hymns. I can say with utmost confidence that the level of enthusiasm and participation is much higher during the upbeat, moving contemporary songs that Ms. Gudger dismisses. While traditional hymns are certainly more poetic and lyrical, congregations too often stumble over antiquated verbiage and outdated melodies. But when the lyrics are straightforward and the melody recognizable, you can't help but be moved by the words you sing." But Glenn Peterson, who's the pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Colfax, Washington, agreed with our commentator's lament. He says, "The praise music that does not inspire Ms. Gudger is intended to be easily accessible to congregants and visitors. However, so much of it is empty of theological content and meaning. It consoles but does not challenge. It soothes but does not spur us to Christian service. This style of worship threatens the faith." Andrew Mead is the pianist and organist at Grass Lake Federated Church in Grass Lake, Michigan. He writes, "While I quietly cheer Ms. Gudger's reactions, I am reluctant to step on our congregants' heartfelt worship. I have to remind myself that to lovers of plain chant, the Lutheran chorales were popular vulgarity, just as the grand old 19th century tub thumpers were fingernails on the blackboard to high church Victorians. Left to my druthers, I'd play nothing but Bach, but that's just me." For several days, we've reported on the possibility of a schism in the Episcopal Church, which prompted some listeners to demand a correction. While I realize NPR functions on an extremely limited budget, I must assume there exists at least one dictionary in your facility, writes Michael Mogill from Southfield, Michigan. "The word is pronounced schism, not schism," pleads Jeannie Thomason in Half Moon Bay, California. "So distracted was I by your reporter's oft-repeated glaring error that I couldn't keep my mind on the rest of the story and unfortunately missed the gist of the message." In the interest of preventing a possible schism of our own, we cite the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language as to why we are sticking with schism. The word schism, which was originally spelled S-C-I-S-M-E in English, is traditionally pronounced schism. However, in the 16th century, the word was respelled with an initial S-C-H in order to conform to its Latin and Greek forms. From this spelling arose the pronunciation schism. Long regarded as incorrect, it became so common in both British and American English that it gained acceptability as a standard variant. Evidence indicates, however, that it is now the preferred pronunciation, at least in American English. In a recent survey, 61% of this dictionary's usage panel indicated that they use schism, while 31% said they use schism. Send us your praise and criticism. Our email address is atc@npr.org. Please tell us where you're writing from and the preferred pronunciation of your name.